Hey everybody, this is Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Hey, today's probably going to be a little bit different. You know, normally I'll prepare and I'll think about kind of like, what do I want to say and how do I want to say it? And I generally have some bullet items written down. Like I generally know what I want to say. But today, you know, I haven't really prepared. I was thinking about, you know, what I needed to talk about and what that needed to look like. And really, you know, it came back to thinking about social media. And I recently read a book called From Social Media to Social Ministry. And it talks about, and I recommend the book for anybody, but it talks about what does it really look like to have a ministry on social media and how do you build that environment and what does that look like for people? And what it's really done for me is it's really made me think about what does in the future, what is the church gonna look like? You know, I think anybody will say, and if they don't, I would challenge them that the church is not a building, right? I've said this before, you know, we've talked about what is the church? And I struggled with this, you know, I think on Christmas, I posted a message on my Facebook about, you know, being out in the desert. And, you know, if you don't know, Linda and I spent several months, November and December into January. So from mid-November to mid-January in Phoenix. And we traveled to several different RV parks and we prayed with people. But I think really what God was trying to show us out there was how isolated people can be. And what, you know, the unfortunate thing of that isolation, and there are people who can't go to a church building and there are people who don't want to go to a church building. And when you look at social media today and you see all of these churches streaming services or, you know, they're posting all these events and they're doing all these different things, from my interpretation of it is the primary goal of that is to get people in the building. Their primary use for social media is to get butts in the seats. And the unfortunate thing is I've actually heard pastors say that, right? We need to get them back to the building. We can't have people at home. And I've been really struggling with this, right? I've been really struggling with what does that look like? And why are we so fixated on a building? You know, in one part of this book, Social Media to Social Ministry, the author talks about, back in the day, the disciples didn't stand in Jerusalem on a corner with a cardboard sign saying, you know, Jesus is going to preach at this time, come and see, right? And Jesus didn't wait and he didn't have fog machines and he didn't do, you know, there wasn't a band playing to bring people in. He just went to where they were and they started to minister to people. And so I want to challenge people to think about what does that look like? What does it really look like to actually minister to people where they are? You know, that's why Linda and I have kind of been fixated on this digital ministry, online ministry, nomad pastor, you know, ministering to the homeless people. And nobody knows this. We haven't talked about this, but we are in the process of starting a nonprofit organization to go to the marginalized in society, to go to the people that for whatever reason, maybe society has forgotten about. And we want to figure out a way to give them dignity back. But we also have to figure out a way that they understand that they can be vital members of the kingdom of God. And they don't have to go to a building. Church was never a building. And I know it's probably really controversial for me to say that. You know, when we were traveling, we had tons of people at church praying for us, right? We are members of a church, and that's amazing. And I don't want to take away from that. I think that when you have a church family, right, that you can lean on, that you can ask for them to pray for you, that you can have small groups with, that you can do all of those things, it's an amazing thing, right? I don't want to take away from that at all. But what I do want people to understand is that's not the end all be all of what Christianity is. It is not about a building. That is Westernized Christianity. And like I said, it's probably controversial, and I understand that. And I don't really know what the future holds. Linda and I have went back and forth on this numerous times, and we keep trying to figure out how to help those people who might not ever go to a church building. You know, for me, right, you guys should know this if you've listened to my podcast. I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah, and at that time it was 80% Mormons. And it's still a large percentage today, but there was very strict requirements for being a Mormon. Now, I'm not a Mormon, but there was, if you wanted to go to church, you got to wear a tie. You have to wear a suit. You have to, it wasn't open to anybody. And that's not what Jesus was about, right? Jesus is about, it don't matter what you look like, who you are, where you came from. I don't care what you smell like. If you want to come to the church, come. And so maybe because some Western churches portray that same thing, right? That, wear your Sunday best. And they frown on people that maybe don't look like they do. And so if that person went to that church one time, they may never go back. And the sad thing about that is the image that is being portrayed of Christians is wrong, right? When you portray that we are better than you, that you're not good enough, or, you got to go get a job, or you got to have, new clothes, or you got to wear a tie, or you got to know the Bible, whatever it may be. That's the wrong thing to portray to non-Christians, because all you're doing is pushing them away. And I know a lot of pastors who 1,000% don't do that, right? I have great friends who are pastors in the Nazarene church that 100% never do that. They invite everyone. But that, to me, is not the majority. To me, and I've visited a lot of churches, to me, I have felt uncomfortable going to some churches and a large percentage of churches just wearing my cut, right? Wearing my BFC cut. It says Bikers for Christ, and I'm a biker, and that image that it portrays, I get looks. And it makes me not want to go back. And I've struggled with that a lot. And I think a lot of other people struggle with that. So we got to figure out how to take that struggle away from people. We have to figure out how to allow the kingdom of God to flourish and grow and not care about a building. You know, when we were in Arizona, and you know, I don't know if I talked about this or not, but when we were in Arizona, we thought we were going there to minister to people, right? We thought we were being called to minister to people in the campgrounds. And we did what we could, right? But we realized, at least I realized, that's not why we were there, right? We were there for God to show us how it feels. We were there to be shown how isolating it is when you can't go to a physical church because the community, the Christian community, hasn't embraced that. They haven't embraced that thought process of you don't have to come to the building. They haven't embraced that you can be a valuable asset to the kingdom of God and never go to the building. That you're not a member if you can't physically be there. How outrageous is that? I want you to really think about it. How outrageous is it to think that somebody who can't physically go to a church building would not be treated like part of the kingdom? They can do as much for the kingdom and probably more than the people in the church. But we have to figure out as a Christian society, as a Christian, as a body, as the body of Christ, that's what we are. We have to figure out as the body of Christ, how do we engage those people? How do we continue to engage those people? How do we make them make disciples? How do we teach them to go? And I'm going to challenge you that an online church or an online ministry, that's the direction this is going for me, right? Because I'm not going to have to pay for a building. We're not going to have to pay for a building and sound and fog and all of these things, right? I don't know what it looks like. I honestly don't know what it looks like today, but we're going to keep listening to God. And we're going to keep listening to the Holy Spirit to direct us where we need to be. Now, I'm going to reiterate that I don't believe that means you should never go to a church, right? I believe that being with the church body is an amazing thing, right? Being with like-minded people is an amazing thing. But I also believe that you can do that remotely. With technology the way it is today, there is no reason that you physically have to go to a building and be isolated. You know, be isolated because you don't. That's what I'm trying to say. There's no reason for it. You should be able to have just as much interaction. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes you should be able to have more. I feel like, you know, little churches are dying. It's a fact, whether people want to admit it or not. If you're a church that's less than 100 people, you're not growing. And big churches are growing, but they're not growing by new converts. They're growing by stealing people from little churches, right? A little church, maybe they don't have enough kids. And so as families start to flourish or somebody has kids, they want their kids to be around other kids, and they're going to go to a bigger church where there's a better kids ministry. And not necessarily a better kids ministry, but a bigger kids ministry, right? They want their kids to be with 10, 20, 30, 40 kids of the same age every Sunday learning about Jesus. They don't want it to be the only kids. So what happens is these bigger churches, the term stealing is wrong, but they're embracing people from smaller churches that are dying. It's not about new converts. And some it is. I know I'm generalizing, and so I apologize for that, because there are some amazing big churches that grow the kingdom and have huge baptisms. And, you know, for me, I don't go to this church, but I've listened to them a lot. I've done a lot of research on some of the things that they've done throughout the pandemic. But Long Hollow Baptist in Tennessee, that church, I mean, I think they have a digital pastor. They're doing it, right? They recognize that not everybody's going to come to the building. They, you know, their pastor, Robbie Gallaty, he does a podcast that's amazing. And they're in it. They want to grow the kingdom, and they do that by making disciples, and they're teaching people online how to make disciples, right? And that needs to be the model, right? Social media is about being social, right? That is a two-way street. It is not a marketing arm. How do we get from, I'm going to use Facebook to create a market to drive people to my building, versus how do I use social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to make disciples that make disciples that then make disciples, right? That's the Great Commission. So how do we use social media to do those things? I don't know the answer to that, but what I do know is I'm going to try to figure it out. And there's books, like I said, I've been reading this book, Social Media to Social Ministry. I've read it once. I'm going through it again. I just started it again today. I'm like on chapter 3. And I'm going to finish it in a couple days. And then I'm going to probably read it again, because what it is saying, it makes so much sense. And it's not saying don't have a building, but it is saying figure out how to take this internet age and grow the kingdom. So how do we do that? How do we determine the right way to do that? How do we determine what's appropriate? How do we engage people from all over the country or maybe even the world? How do we allow them to flourish and make disciples? What does it look like when they need prayer? Who do they call, right? They don't have a building. They may not be calling their pastor. So we've got to figure out what does this look like from a group dynamic? And maybe it is an online pastor or a digital pastor, right? I don't know what it looks like. And that's kind of what I talked about when we were in Arizona. You know, it was amazing. We had people praying for us, but we were still isolated. We still felt alone. Now, while we were there, I recorded my podcast. I worked. I had interactions. Our church body was praying for us, like I said. But that was it. You know, Linda and I together trying to figure it out. And even though our church body was praying for us, I didn't feel like I had somebody to call. I didn't feel like there was a, hey, let me call my pastor. And I'm sure he would have answered. I don't want to take away from that. But I recognized at that time that he has a congregation that goes to the building and he's busy. So who's dedicated to me? Who's dedicated to the people who are online? Who's dedicated to the people that can't go or have so much anxiety about going that they never have? Who's taking care of them? I just really want you to think about that. I know that I probably rambled a lot today, and this is a short message, but I want you to think about, like, where do we go next? How do we grow the church next, right? Facebook's got like 300 million subscribers. And if you look at the stats, right, Google, every month, 30,000 people search church online on Google. That's 360,000 people every year. Now, honestly, I don't know how many members Facebook has. I'm sure it's billions, but I do know that the fact is that 30,000 people a month search church online using Google. How do we help those people? How do we reach that audience? And this isn't a money thing. This is a kingdom growth thing. How do we teach them, right? Could you imagine if we were able to tap into just 1/10 of that every month, right? 30,000. So if we were just to tap into 3,000 of those every month as a church body and teach them how to make disciples, teach them how to live the life that Christ wants us to live. They're already interested. They are a captive audience because they're doing the search. So how do we teach them? Now, I'm sure some percentage of those are already Christians, and they're trying to figure out how could I watch it online without actually going to a building. So 10%. How about 10% of the 10%, right? So how about instead of 3,000, how about 300 a month? You know, the multiplication is astronomical when you start thinking about it. If every month 300 people converted and became Christians because of some online digital ministry and they were taught how to make disciples, that number's just going to, it's like compounded interest. You just have to invest in it. And we got to figure out how to invest in it. So that's what I'm going to try to do, right? Linda and I, we're going to try to figure out how to make that investment. We're going to try to figure out how do we build programs online for people to become disciples that make disciples. How do we provide the pastoral care that they need? So I'm going to ask, if you're listening, I'm going to ask you to add us to your daily prayers. I'm going to ask you to add us to your prayers for God to provide us guidance and the ability to reach these people, to reach and teach, right? And I pray that we're able to do it, right? They need to see the love of Christ, and we got to figure out how to do it. So that's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you to pray for us to do that. Pray for us to figure out how to do that. And as we continue these podcasts, we're, you know, I'm going to keep you updated. I don't know what it looks like right now, right? But I do know that we have to do something. Our society, our country, and our world is struggling. And Jesus can save it. So we got to figure out how to help him. Right? That's what we got to do. So add me to your prayers. You know, be specific. Hey, how do we reach these people? How does Rick and Linda reach these people? Help them reach these people. That's what I'm going to ask for, right? And I just want you to add me to your prayers. Hey, it's Rick with the Nomad Pastor Podcast. I appreciate you listening. And look, who knows what the future is going to hold, but we're going to go down that path. So I appreciate it. Y'all have a blessed day. Thanks.